We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. This hour brought to you by Coaches on South 13th. Cheer for the green and gold and Wisconsin. Enjoy specials on Miller and Coors during the games, plus giveaways and raffles at Coaches on South 13th and Lake Danoon. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Tim Allen will join us in about 15, 20 minutes here. You heard him on the postgame show last night. You'll hear him on the postgame show tonight. You'll hear him on the postgame show tomorrow. Tim Allen and the postgame show and the Bill Michaels Bud Light huddle merging at Who's on Third on Old World Third on Thursday night.
This is how big the Brewer thing has become, where the Brewers now are invading the football show.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
It's just like last year all over again, where the Brewers were the dominant sort of team for most of you. And I remember last year, who did they play on that Monday night? They played the Dodgers or the Rockies? That was the same night that the Packers played the Niners.
It was the Dodgers because I was in L.A.
Oh, okay, okay.
It was because they took a 2-1.
I remember details I don't remember.
No, they were down. They took the 2-1 lead in that series. Remember, Arcia had a home run in that game, and that was kind of the clincher. And they were up 2-1, and the Packers had that victory over San Francisco.
Yes, they got past C.J. Beathard in the Niners.
Yes.
33-30.
That was a bet you lost to me because you thought the Packers were going to roll over San Francisco. We had a bet on the point spread there.
We did.
Yeah.
Speaking of roll, the Packers will roll this weekend, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I've cut my video already for our collage of videos that you put together. And, yeah, I'm thinking, too, hopefully it's just not like the Packers to fall to a crappy Bronco team.
When you're making your bets this weekend, keep this in mind. The Packers are 5-0-1 in the state of Wisconsin against the Broncos, have never lost.
Mm-hmm.
And when they win, they score at least 30 points. So just keep that in mind.
I feel like the Broncos, when they've played them, the Broncos have always been bad. You know, they've had some good stretches, obviously, but they've never played them when they were good at home.
No, when they go on the road, they're good.
Yes.
And when they play them in the Super Bowl, they're pretty good.
Yes.
But when they play them at
here,
home.
No, not so much.
414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. So we'll talk to Tim coming up, obviously, about this Brewers team. And when we had Tim on last time, he yelled at me for not enjoying this team as much. I think that I'm a little more hung up on last year than other people. I think that last year we were so close to the World Series, so that this year I want to get back to the World Series, or at least get there. I want to get to the World Series, and I think that every move the Brewers should have made over the last 12 months had the goal of getting to the World Series in mind. With some of these moves that they made, it just seems like they're sustaining a competitive team. But whatever's happened in this last month has proven that they can get to the playoffs with those moves. They've won 11 and 12. So while I've wanted in the last 2 years, Sonny Gray, Yu Darvish, Dallas Keuchel, Craig Kimbrell, it's been Ray Black, Jordan Lyles, Drew Pomeranz that have actually got the Brewers to this spot. So I still think that I think that this playoff race is almost a distraction from the fact that they didn't make the big moves to help us win a World Series, but I feel like I'm the only one that cares about that, and everyone's just, hey, Brewers play tonight, let's have a good time.
I thought last night I was sitting on the edge of my seat for that game last night because they had that 1-0, and that game was breezing by, but it was a 1-0 lead. They only had 4 hits, and then Renfro hits the home run for the Padres off Albers at the top of the 7th inning. I'm like, oh, my God, here it goes. And I just thought, okay, you know, 1-1, Padres are going to find a way to sneak this one out and disappoint us. And then Moose comes back and lowers the boom in the bottom of the 7th inning for the tie-breaking home run into the upper deck at Miller Park. And then Pomeranz closes it out, 3-up, 3-down in each of the next 2 innings, and that's it. After the Brewers added an insurance run in there, too, so I did not like the way that game was going. It was a little too close for comfort. 1-0 for the longest time, and certainly they were able to pull that thing out.
We don't talk enough about how there's two Hunter Renfros in sports. The Raiders receiver, mm-hmm, and then the the good weird. Padres player.
Weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't do that enough.
No.
So where are you guys standing? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 1057FM The Fan. 414-799-1250. Stefan's driving up to Fondy. What's up, Stefan?
Good morning, guys. Hey, just a couple comments and then possibly a Twitter poll question for you. But, Bart, I saw your tweet last night, and you know that Quaid character in Major League, he is the poster child for the pessimistic sports fan out there. It doesn't matter what sport you're in. But
I posted the picture of him going, don't worry, they'll blow it in the playoffs, because I've kind of morphed into that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. The funny thing is, though, you know, all these players, you know, Council's pushing the right buttons, but these, you know, Pomerantz's performance last night isn't Council, you know, knowing that he's gonna pitch those two innings like that. I mean, I wish these guys could bottle some of that up and take it from the sprint portion of the season and add it to the marathon portion, so we aren't all biting our nails off here at the end of the year every year. So, but my Twitter poll question for you guys, I was talking to Horvy about this a little bit, is, you know, there's really just four teams. The Brewers probably have, you know, a 75% chance of getting in because of the four teams they're fighting with. You know, three of them are going to make it. But if you really look at it, if you cheer for either the Cubs or the Cardinals to win six or seven games out of that series, it's going to knock the other one out. And the Brewers would essentially be guaranteed a wild card spot in that scenario. So the question would be, would you rather have the Cubs or Cardinals sweep all those games just so the Brewers get a wild card? Or would you rather have them split, maybe have the Brewers not make the playoffs, and have the Brewers have a better chance of winning the division?
You know, I thought about that. Even with the Cardinals playing Washington, Stefan, I just thought that, you know, Washington won last night, but, you know, if you don't think you have a shot at winning the division, you're only two games out now, but wouldn't you rather have Washington get beat so you can maybe get the number one seed for the wild card and have that game at Miller Park? That's a possibility, too.
I looked at all the, you know, teams that all these guys are playing. Obviously, the Brewers, you know, they got Colorado, and hopefully the Pirates don't wake up this weekend. But certainly the Brewers, I think, have a better chance to put down a winning record through the remainder of their games. Washington's got a tough lineup against Cleveland and a couple other teams. They only got, obviously, the one game left with the Cardinals now. And essentially, you know, that pretty much doesn't give the Brewers a leg up for anything. The thing that the Brewers are going to get a leg up on is whether what happens between the Cardinals and Cubs.
Yeah. And playing the Pirates, usually the Pirates are a tough out. Clint Hurdle's a good manager.
That clubhouse has got some problems.
That's my point. Now they got some issues
there. I'm
not really
sure what's going on there.
Usually, you know, when the Pirates come to town, even they're in last place, you're thinking, okay, you know, the Clint Hurdle's going to get these guys to play hard. But there's been some problems in that clubhouse, as you mentioned, in the dugout. Not so sure Hurdle's going to keep his job there. So things have fallen apart, especially in the second part of the season for the Pirates.
Like they kind of quit on Hurdle.
It certainly does look that way. And they haven't done that in the past, but this year it looks like they have.
Say, Stefan, how about you put up a Twitter poll on your account and we'll retweet it?
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
Sure you tweet us. Tweet at 1057FM The Fan, and then
I will.
And then we'll retweet it.
Okay,
but don't do it while you're driving.
No, I'm already in Fond du Lac. I think I set a record today. I was able to drive from Mequon to Fond du Lac while being on hold.
So you work in you work in Fond du Lac?
Well, today I am. I'm at the surgery center here today working.
So. Oh, you're a doctor?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, watch those hands, man. Tape up those hands.
Anesthesiologist. So.
Wow, that's easy for you to say. Have a good day, man.
Thanks, Stefan.
All right, see you guys later.
See you later.
See ya. Cocking off to a doctor.
What?
You.
What's that?
That's easy for you to say to a doctor.
What's that? Yeah. Well, like Shannon, my girlfriend, she's a nurse practitioner. You know, she throws all these medical terms out there, and I was like, sometimes just baffled at it. I was like, man, you really are smart.
Well, how about that? What a surprise.
Yeah.
I just started dating you for your looks, but you actually have a brain.
Wow. She starts throwing all these medical terms and all that about, you know, when these rock stars are dying. She's explaining it all, and it's like, oh, he's got this thing and this thing. And I'm like, wow, okay.
You guys didn't take medical terminology in college?
No. One science class, Horvy, at UW-Eau Claire. That was it.
You know what sucks is that I took medical terminology, and they don't even consider it a science class. I thought that that was going to be my credits for science. Yeah. And then I had to take a science class. So I had to struggle, and it was a doctor teaching it. I go in there, and he's like, you know, what do you want to do? And I was like, I think I'm going to get into sports media. Yeah. And he's like, what are you doing in this class? And he's like, just show up, pretend that you're paying attention, and I'll give you a C so you could get out of here. And I was like, thanks, man.
Oh, that's a professor. Wow. What college is that?
That was at Western, because it was like week three of the class.
Western Illinois.
Yeah, and if I would have dropped it, it would have been, I wouldn't have failed it, but it would have deducted from my...
Did you have a lab, too, with that?
For my grade point average, for some reason.
Did you have to go to
a
lab?
Like an incomplete. Yeah, I had to do a lab.
Oh, man.
That's a good class for sports people, because, I mean, last year we found out what trapezius was.
Trust me, it's not. It's really not.
I didn't know what a patella was.
You're not really dealing so much with sports injuries, like ACLs and PCLs and MCLs, as much as, like, organs and disgusting things. Yeah, you watch some videos. Trust me, stay away from medical terminology. Unless you're going to be a doctor or a nurse, then you might want to jump on that.
414-799-1250. We'll talk to Tim Allen from our post-game show coming up momentarily. Mike is in West Bend. Mike, what's up with you? Welcome, Chuck and Winkler.
Hey, Mike, you're not going to the doctor's office today, are you?
No, I'm on the road. On hold also. But anyway, hey, you guys asked about the Brewers making the playoffs, or, you know, what the expectation was. The last thing I want to do is advance to the division series and get waxed by the Dodgers. I can't stand losing to those guys 2 years in a row. I would be content with just knocking the Cubs or the Cardinals out by either, you know, them not making the playoffs or beating them in a wild card or taking the division, anything to knock either one of those teams or both out. Chuck, I think you hit it on the head yesterday of keeping one out and knocking the other one out in the playoffs. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
You guys answered my question. I had a couple of questions on the tiebreakers, but you kind of touched on them earlier. So head-to-head doesn't mean anything except for home field advantage for a playoff game, correct?
Well, what else was it? I mean, there's nothing more you can gain from that besides home field advantage for the wild card, that is.
The problem with baseball, or not the problem, but what makes it interesting is if more than two teams tie.
Mm-hmm.
So in football, if you have four teams that are 9-7 for that sixth wild card spot, they figure out, well, who had the best record against NFC opponents? And then, okay, the Packers get in. But in baseball, if you've got four teams that are up for that second wild card spot, they're going to make those four teams somehow play it out, and then they would use like head-to-head as a tiebreaker to figure out where those games are being played.
It'd be wild if they all tied for the division between the Cubs, the Cardinals, and the Brewers.
And then, because they could all tie for the division and have the same record with the Nationals, which would mean they'd have to play out for the NL Central, and then they'd have to play out, you'd add the Nationals in and then play it out for the wild card.
And then baseball at the end of the season would address, how do we avoid this situation?
Yeah, and that would be on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Once all these games got in. Yeah. So it could really be hectic.
Keep up the great work, guys.
All right, thanks, Mike. Thanks. Have a good one. 414-799-1250. You could tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You know who had great work last night and is going to give a big jolt to this team is Brandon Woodruff, man. He was throwing 98, 99 miles an hour in his two innings of work. And, you know, he looked at the radar gun and he was popping the mitt last night. Woody was nasty out there.
Yeah.
So we know who our game one or wild card starter is going to be.
What a joke that was.
What's that?
Oh, guy's got a no hitter. He take him after two innings.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he had some electric material last night.
No, but if I was thinking this too, because I did make that joke on Twitter, and thank God people caught that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at Wings. Thanks, you're at Chuck Freeman. If the Brewers, you know, we want the Brewers more than like playoff appearances. We want the Brewers to have another no hitter
because
they've only had one, and then Mike Fiers has had two since he's been traded from the Brewers.
Yeah,
it would be just like the Brewers to have a no hitter. That's like two innings of Woodruff, three of Gio, an inning and a third of Claudio, a third of an inning from Junior Guerra. I mean, that would take a little bit of the shine off of it if the Brewers bullpen their way to a no-hitter in these final couple of weeks, wouldn't
they? Yeah, you know, if the Brewers do ever get that second no-hitter, I want it to be from one guy. And I've said this before, that multiple no-hitter by committee stuff, is that's not a true no-hitter. No-hitter is a guy going nine innings.
Yeah.
And I'm not even eight innings. You got to go. I don't want to see a guy go seven innings and then Hader comes in and mops up the final two for a no-hitter. No hitter. One guy goes nine innings, and that's it.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We'll talk to Tim Allen about the Brewers' postseason chances, because it does seem like this team is good enough to somehow get into the playoffs. But would they be good enough to go far in those playoffs? I think that is the important question. Tim Allen from our postgame show will help us with that coming up next. Got an email last night from my friends at Perkins, because you can get it too. You just sign up at PerkinsRestaurants.com for their weekly e-club coupon. So they've got an e-club, and they don't bombard you with emails, but what they do send you is coupons. And I think that's usually a welcome sight. You get 20% off your first order when you sign up, and then every Wednesday you can have the buy one, get one, where you get a meal, and then you get a free meal with that. We've already talked about the kids' meals, Tuesdays and Saturdays. Hopefully you enjoyed it last night after 4. You take your kid out, you get a meal, they get a free kids' meal. You don't need any email or any coupon for that. That just happens. But then on Wednesdays, to get another free meal of any kind, you can sign up at PerkinsRestaurants.com for the buy one, get one. And then that's good at any Perkins throughout southeastern Wisconsin. The pot roast potluck menu is in season now. I would definitely recommend that, whether it's the pot roast melt maybe for a sandwich at lunch, or the classic pot roast dinner for later tonight, even some of their breakfast options where they've taken the same kind of beef they use with gravy and then basically put it on a scrambler. And it's so good. We had that a couple of weeks ago. Can't wait to get our mouths on that again. That's at Perkins all throughout southeast Wisconsin. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. They are good enough, it seems, the Brewers, to get to the playoffs. Then watch. Tim Allen from our baseball postgame show next on the...
And he sends that one high and deep, flips the bat, and watches it fly out of here. Mike Moustakas puts the Brewers ahead. Number 35 for the Moose. 2-1 Milwaukee.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. We'll talk to Jerry Augustine coming up at 9 o'clock, Fox Sports Wisconsin, with that call. And we'll talk to Augie at 9. We'll get into some Packer stuff as they've got the Broncos this week. But as you look ahead to that this weekend, you know, I thought maybe the Packers-Broncos game would get some attention stolen from the Michigan-Wisconsin game. And we'll preview that one in the next couple of days, too, Saturday at 11 a.m. for that one. But the Brewers have really taken over, I think, the attention of the Wisconsin sports fan, and really the possibility of what could come. Tim Allen has been there every step of the way, host of our baseball postgame show, brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blinds. There's been Dunn clubs. I've quit on this team. I quit on this team 6 times in a game. Everybody, it seems, at some point has quit on this team, except for our friend Tim Allen. Tim, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Al.
Yeah, good morning, boys. Yeah, the Dunn Clubbers will welcome you back in, but it's sort of a get-out-of-jail-free card. So it's sort of a punch card. You get 3 strikes for the baseball theme. The first time, Bart, we just open-door policy. We'll let you back in. Then if you join the Dunn Club, you can punch your second pick, and that is you owe us $50. And then the third time, you're on your honor, and we'll let you back in. After that, I think you should be all in with them anyway.
If the Brewers win the World Series, I don't think people will let me celebrate where I've gotten.
I don't think you will let you celebrate. I don't think you'll still be happy. You'll be somehow.
I'll be happy. That's all I want.
That they didn't sign Kimbrel and Keuchel.
That's all I want is for this team to win a World Series. We've seen over the last couple of weeks, Tim, is a team that, you know, made moves that I don't think were World Series moves, but they have paid off in the terms of this team can make the playoffs. So if they go to the playoffs, I think that what people have done is decided that getting to the playoffs would be like winning the World Series. That you hear a lot of Brewer fans that say, I just want my team to make it to the playoffs 2 straight years in my lifetime. And while I want that too, I still, for a team that won the World Series a year ago, I want them to get back there this year. They don't have the talent to do that. I seem to be in the minority, though. I won't let last year go, and it seems like I'm the only one.
Well, if it gets down to being a down year, and this is your down year, then you're okay with that. You really are, because it's really not going to be that freight train of a team on paper and visually, too, that it was last year. But, you know, three consecutive years here on a September surge, and it really was to get to this point. Everything they've gone through, the injuries and the rough schedule, and people forget about that. Guys, Chuck, Bart, I mean, it was a brutal schedule to open up the year, and they start getting beat up with injuries. They start losing some production with Jesus and Travis Shaw, and you have some changing parts there, and then Keston Hira comes up and then goes back down. People forget he was sent back down. So all of these things, then you get toward the latter stages of the season here, and it really was about get to September 1st for expanded rosters. It was get healthy, get some of these guys back in the field, and then it was get through that gauntlet of a schedule. And that really is the most impressive part of the run, when they had to play the Cardinals, Cubs, Astros, and Cubs in that 12-gamer right there. And I think that may have been the turning point in this season, when they come out of that thing 7-5, and you're like, well, wait a second. They weren't supposed to do that through those 12 games there. And they got that done. And then it's hit the road. Let's see if they can improve the road record. So all of these things start to line up at the same time. And just, I might add one more thing here, guys. People have been peppering me with, well, you're beating up on the Marlins and Padres. Mainly Cub fans have been saying that to me. Well, the fact remains is that you already played the Padres and Marlins. So why is it unfair that we get our turn, that the Brewers get their shot at the Padres and Marlins? So all of this equals out, and all of this really comes down to a big-time 11-game stretch here, a week and a half left.
Hey, the Cubs had their chance to pound on the Padres last week, and they got out of San Diego with a split in a four-game series. So I don't see how that argument holds up for the Cubs.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And this, had these games happened earlier in the year, no one would be talking about it at all. They wouldn't have said, hey, back in June, you really picked on the Marlins and the Padres. In fact, back in that area, the Brewers early on did get swept by the Padres, mm-hmm. I may remind everybody. And they lost 2 of 3 to the Marlins at Miller Park. And that may have been a little bit of a turning point also, when they got beat by the Marlins 16-0.
I'm enjoying this run. I love it. Now, in the big picture of things, Tim, I mean, you want to look ahead to next year. I'm wondering if this run is going to come, this three-year run is going to come to an end, because there's so much uncertainty going into the next season of who's playing where and who's coming back and what the team is going to look like. And, you know, a certain guy's going to bounce back and have better years, the Travis Shaws and guys like that. There is a lot of things that we don't know about with the future of the Milwaukee Brewers right now.
Yeah, but you could also look at it as the way they cherish the flexible player, the versatile player. I think they have a lot of flexibility within some of these guys, not only positionally, but in terms of contracts and in terms of money that's available to spend. So I look at it more as, you know, they're sort of in a real flexible situation. I would be surprised if they didn't really, not just a Yoli Chacin veteran type. I would be surprised if at some point via free agency or via trade that they don't get someone in that starting rotation, a decent, I mean, way more than decent. I mean, an actual legitimate, put him in the starting rotation, let him go, 30-start type guy. That would surprise me. And the reason I say that is because you may see that there may be some rule changes that don't coincide with some of the philosophies on how Craig Counsell and David Stearns like to handle their pitching staff. It is clear to see. It's absolutely a slam dunk, guys. Their analytical department, they truly believe in a couple of things. Number one, the splits. They just, even though the player may not be as good at the plate, simply because he's a right-handed batter going against a lefty means that they've got something. They've got some numbers, some sort of data in there that says this is the way to go. And then, and more importantly, how to handle those pitchers. And I don't know if the days of 5 innings and just 1 run on 4 hits and you yank a guy simply because it's third time through, I don't know if those days are going to continue, because they, again, analytical department, they have to have some data. Guys, you guys watch every game, you follow every game, you talk about it. They've got to have some slam dunk numbers that say third time through the order, there is really no reason a starting pitcher should stay in there. We're going to turn things over to the pen.
Tim Allen from the Bayview Shade and Blinds postgame show. He will be on the air again tonight after Brewers Padres, and again tomorrow, later afternoon game, but the postgame show is kind of going to blend with the Bill Michaels huddle, so a lot coming at you.
I'm looking forward to that, Bart. I really am. It's Bill Michaels, a veteran broadcaster, and Chuck, you can appreciate this. You get some guys together that you really haven't worked with. I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Dennis Krause there as well. So you get Dennis Krause and Bill Michaels, and I'm
looking forward to that. Don't forget Scott Grodzki from CBS 58.
That's right. Grodzki will be there, but I'm looking forward to that. That should be some fun conversation.
Krause's going to be on the round table too?
That's what I'm hearing.
That's a first, man. He's never been on that round table before. That's awesome, man. That is awesome. So with you guys, man, we're talking a lot of history.
A lot of collective years.
Yeah.
The Mesozoic era.
Yeah. Back to the game last night. What did you think of Woodruff returning and throwing gas the way he was?
You know, I like what they did. The only thing that I would say, guys, is I'm a big believer in giving players their due. It's a lot like late in the season, a guy on his walk year, they'll pull him off the field. You saw that with Jeff Jenkins. You've seen that with a couple of other players. And usually Craig Counsell is pretty astute at doing that. But the only change I would have made, I would have let Woody go back out for the third, record an out, and then make that pitching change to the fanfare. And the fans have been outstanding here. I mean, Monday and a Tuesday night, and you can throw in the
fact. Well, also they batted him eighth, and then Gio had to come up earlier than he was supposed to.
Hey, they did that to Matt Albers in the eighth inning, although he didn't throw a pitch. He went out there, took up his warm-ups, and they took him out. So fans had a chance to give Albers a little fanfare after he gave the tying home run in the seventh.
Yeah, well, and again, 33,000 on Monday night, 34,000 plus last night. There's something cooking here in Milwaukee. But that's the only thing I'd have done different. But the other thing he did right is the fact that he started him. And he didn't do this piggyback where he's the second guy up. You don't do that to your bell cow. And I think Craig Counsell handled that well. I think that surprised a lot of people leading up to his activation and his health. People thought that he was going to come out of the bullpen, and I was pretty in lockstep with Counsell saying, you don't do that to your franchise ace. And he clearly is, guys. He's one hell of a pitcher, and you let him start. And maybe they expand that the next time out where you go up to the 50-60 pitch range and see if he can lock down, you know, four or five innings. It was tough. His first batter goes eight pitches deep, and that sort of determined that, okay, if you can get two out of him, we're good.
Tim Allen joining us here. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 on the AM, and then the radio.com app. I think that, you know, it's been kind of, it's been exhilarating those last two Septembers because the Brewers are rattling off these streaks, and I think that goes to how well Craig Counsell can manage a team when there's so many options to go from. It's like if this was how baseball was, where you had 40 guys to choose from every night, the Brewers would be 130 and 32 every single year because he seems to know exactly what to do and when to do it. But next year, there are rules that are going to be in place that might take that away from him. The September call-ups are going to be shrunk down a little bit, most likely. And so the thing that the Brewers are good at, you're already a small market team with that disadvantage. Now the thing that the Brewers are good at, they're going to take away from that too. So I want to say right now, with how Counsell manages, lock him up for the end of time, because you're not going to get anybody better than this as a manager. I've been critical on the Brewers, yes, but Counsell, I think, has managed these guys brilliantly. Yet, Tim, the one thing that he's really, really good at, baseball's going to take away from him.
It is, and there may be that rule implemented where there's some real strict bullpen rules, and that really, if that's the case, then as an organization, Stearns needs to readjust on that, and you have to start looking at it a little bit differently where, you know, instead of a situational guy, and it's funny how, you know, it's interesting how in spring training, a lot of teams will say, well, this reliever that we signed, he's not just a situational guy. He's there to get outs, righty, lefty, it doesn't matter. And then you get to August and September where it really counts, and there are so many moves. What did the Giants and Boston Red Sox have yesterday? 24 pitchers used in a baseball game. 13 for one of those teams. I mean, with the rule changes, it is going to change things a little bit. So that means then the organization and Stearns needs to readjust and sign or trade for or bring up a certain type of pitcher. And that's going to be interesting. And I don't know with the new collective bargaining agreement coming onto the table in 2021. I'm not sure that baseball is going to go ahead and implement that rule, number one. But number two, if they do, then get ready to buckle in off-season of 2020 into 21, because there may be a work stoppage on some of this stuff.
Can they beat the Dodgers, though?
They can beat anybody.
But honestly, can the Brewers beat the Dodgers?
Well, again, do you play it on paper? You don't play it on paper. I mean, you know, there's some pretty big point spreads over the weekend in the NFL, and upwards of 20 and 21 points. You never really know. They match up, guys, Bart, in all seriousness, on paper, that Dodger team is a freight train. There's no question about it. But if you look at the last 2 years on how Council goes at the Dodgers, not only the regular season but the postseason, I do think in a one game, and that's the way you play this, in a one game, and that's the way he played it this year and last year against that team, which clearly on paper is more talented than you. They seem to match up well against these guys. They play them toe-to-toe.
Look how many years the Braves had maybe one of the best records in baseball or the National League, and they failed to even get to the World Series because they were picked off, man, in a short series or a seven-gamer. You know, with Glavin and Smoltz and Maddox, teams found a way to beat them. And
yes,
there's a history of teams having great regular season records. The Brewers had the best record in the National League last year, did not get to the World Series. So, yeah, I told Bart earlier, and I stand on this, that, you know, you could have the best record in baseball. It doesn't mean a thing when you get to the postseason.
In the last couple of years, you look at their matchups against guys like Clayton Kershaw, and this year they won the game that Verlander started. Now, it takes a while, but that's the thing, the matchup. Get outs, the out-getter situation. You need to buy time to get the stud out of the game. For example, last night's game. Chris Paddock, he's one of the best young arms in the game right now. And you were just putting up zeros, buying time to change the game mid and late game. And really it comes down to that. Stay in the game. Let Council do his thing. Let someone come up with a big hit. They beat Zach Greinke this year in a game that he started. There's a lot of – look what they did against the Cubs. And the Cubs pitching staff is really – they've struggled at times. But there's some formidable arms in that rotation as well. It is about the time. It is about one game. And I love that form of baseball, guys. I really do. To talk about situational baseball and a move that's made in the fourth or fifth inning is playing right into Craig Council's hand here.
Tim, appreciate it. Hey, when you're all pumped up after a victory and you want to keep that momentum rolling, there's no better place to go than the Tim Allen's postgame show on the Fan. Tim, thank you. We will talk to you again very soon.
See you, Tim.
Anytime, boys.
Tim Allen joins us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. That is, you know, when you watch Craig Council manage, you watch some of these guys manage. They, like, take the night off, or they'll try to get themselves ejected, you know, in the fourth inning. They just want to take a night off. Council manages as if he got that job that day, and his whole career depends on getting a win tonight.
Well, you could just see his stomach churning the entire game.
He almost took one to the face last night, though.
When a guy is
foul ball into the dugout.
Yeah, I saw that. When a guy is laboring out there and he can't get across the plate, you see him, and then he'll go over and grab the phone and get on the phone with the guys out there in the bullpen. Yeah, he's grinding away for nine innings. He's loose before the game when he's talking to the media and all that, but man, during the game, man, he's wound up.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath. We'll have more on the Brewers throughout the morning, including Jerry Augustine, to join us just after 9 o'clock. Tim did mention some of the big spreads in the NFL this weekend. The Packers are a big one, but there's something that's only happened once in the history of the league that's happening again this weekend. We'll have that for you coming up. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Sports Flash, right now.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Brian Horvat here as well. More on the Brewers throughout the show today. We'll get back to that in just a little bit. As they win last night, Cardinals lose last night, Cubs lose last night. So not only are the Brewers in it for that wild card, they're only two games back of the Cardinals for the NL Central somehow, which for sure the Brewers, even the most diehard Brewer fan left the Central for dead weeks ago, but 11 of 12 will do that for you. More on that coming up momentarily. We're going to do our NFL Blitz next hour to go around the league, some of the most pressing issues in the NFL. This is the NFL primetime music, which is back, by the way. Chris Berman and Tom Jackson are back. You got to go to the ESPN Plus app, but yeah, are back.
What a slap in the face. They won't put them on regular TV, but they'll put them on the ESPN app.
Well, I guess they can't because of Sunday Night Football's show.
All right.
Football Night in America has all the rights.
So they can't – ESPN doesn't have any post-football show anymore?
They can do, like, SportsCenter, but they can't call it NFL primetime. It's so stupid.
Okay. Weird.
So ESPN got screwed on that, and then they get the worst Monday Night Football games ever.
They've been able to do it in the past. That's odd.
Yeah.
That really is weird. Yeah.
So you can subscribe to ESPN Plus, and you can subscribe to Hulu, and you can subscribe to Netflix, and you can subscribe to Disney Plus, and all you people that cut the cable cord are going to end up paying more for subscriptions once you try to get everything, because Netflix had everything, and now NBC's got their own thing, and Turner's got their own thing, and it's a mess. That's neither here nor there. This is a big weekend in the NFL. The Packers obviously have the Broncos. Again, we'll get back to the Brewers momentarily. Packers are an 8-point favorite. 7.5, I think, is what the latest is, which means, you know what this means, is that the Broncos would be favored at home because we, without Rodgers. Rodgers is a 7.5-point favorite himself. We found that out from Vegas in the offseason. And then the Packers are at home. So if this game was on the road, without Rodgers, they would take the Broncos for sure. But if it was on the road, Packers would be about a 4-point favorite.
What you would do is, though, I think if, let's say they're an 8-point favorite, once you take three, you get 3 points for home field, so it's a 5-point favorite on a neutral field, and then you tack on three more if it's played in Denver. So wouldn't they be like a 2-point favorite, 2 or 1-point favorite?
But then if you take Rodgers out of the equation.
Well, if you take Rodgers, that's a whole new ballgame then.
So but basically what Vegas is saying is that the Broncos and the Packers are matched up pretty evenly without Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Is what they're thinking. And I don't think that's true. I think everybody's talking about how good the Broncos' defense is. Are they? I mean, are they? Or is that just a thing that we were told? Because I don't know, man. I don't think they're that good. We'll find out this weekend. And they've got some injuries they're dealing with defensively. We know they suck offensively.
Yeah, they hung in there with the Bears. And the Bears, you know, they suck offensively too, except for in the final 30 seconds of the game where the NFL is going to give them everything. The Broncos offensively are bad. Defensively, you know, real good. But, yeah, I think, you know, you take Aaron Rodgers off the team. You know, the Packers are on par with a lot of teams out there. We've seen that in the past.
So the Packers are 7.5-point favorite as of right now. Where it stands with some other games, you think that's a big spread. The New England Patriots are 22.5-point favorites over the New York Jets. And the Dallas Cowboys are 21.5-point favorites over the Miami Dolphins. You do not see 20-plus point spreads in the NFL like ever. You see it in college all the time, but you don't see it ever in the NFL. Only one other time has there been two favorites of at least 20 points in the same week. You have to go back to week 5 of 1987 when the Cowboys were 21.5-point favorites over the Eagles and the Niners were 23-point favorites over Atlanta. Neither team covered the spread that week. In NFL history, there have only been 11 games in which there was a spread of 20 points or more, and the favorites are just 2-9 in those games.
The 1987 you brought there, that might even been during the strike when they were using replacement players. Because in 87, there was a strike, and, you know, like Green Bay was playing with players from UW Green Bay.
Shane Falco.
You know, all these guys, yes, you never heard of before, were all some NFL players, and then they wiped it all out, and then they decided not to count those games. So that might have been, or maybe just before the strike of 87. But and the Packers were very, very bad. Remember that one Super Bowl when mid-90s, the Niners played the Chargers, and the Niners were about a 3-touchdown favorite. I think they barely covered that one. But last week, Patriots were a 19-point favored on the road at Miami, and that was a close. They were like toying with them in the first half, and then the Patriots said, screw this. And
they scored a couple defensive touchdowns in the second half, and it got ugly.
It was 43-0.
So the Patriots are a 22.5-point favorite this week. The Cowboys are a 21.5-point favorite. Only the second time ever in NFL history there are two 20-plus favorites in 1 week, and really this has only happened where there's been a 20-point favorite 11 times prior, and again, the favorites are 2-9, at least against the spread in those games. Whether they cover or not, I don't think the Patriots will have any problem beating the Luke Falk-led Jets. That one in Foxborough. And then the Dolphins coming to Dallas. I would think the Patriots have an easier time covering than Dallas, 21.5. But, you know, Miami's still got Ryan Fitzpatrick. They still got Josh Rosen if you go there.
They haven't scored yet, have they?
They put up 10 against the Ravens. They did put up 10 against the Ravens.
But then he gave up like 59.
Yeah, and then they got blanked against the Patriots. Yeah.
Now, see, the Dolphins, this start is one of the worst starts I think I've seen in NFL history. Whereas, you know, you went 0-2 and you got blown up by such huge margins. 59-10 and 44-0. Man, you'd be hard-pressed to find two scores like that to start a season. And the Dolphins have. They might go 0-16.
Well, the Cowboys-Dolphins spread is as big as it is because the Dolphins as a team is bad.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots-Jets spread is because of the quarterback thing, where Sam Darnold's got mono. He'll be out still a few more weeks. Then Trevor Siemian breaks his leg. And then so now they've got the second-year guy, Luke Falk. And you're seeing something really fascinating. I mean, we're not even 3 weeks into the season. We've lost Andrew Luck to retirement. We've lost Drew Brees for at least 6 weeks. We've lost Big Ben for the season. We've lost Sam Darnold for a little bit with mono. Cam Newton may miss this week as well. I mean, you've got a lot of these quarterbacks. Eli Manning finally got benched. You've got a lot of these quarterbacks that are either dropping or finally getting benched. It's really been a fascinating start, and it's going to lead to some ugly play, and it's going to lead to some big-time spreads.
It is, and you're going to see more of that. I mean, I would think like anybody who's playing Miami this year, you're going to see at least a 14-point spread, even the average teams against Miami. They continue to get pounded like that. The Vegas is going to have to set the line, so they beg you, you know, they're going to ask you to take – they want to get equal money on both sides. This is the only way they're going to get people to bet on Miami if they set a high spread like that.
Would any of you guys take Dallas this weekend, 21.5-point favorites at home over the Dolphins?
You know, with those two spreads – the Patriots and the Jets and the Cowboys and the Dolphins, like you mentioned. I mean, I like the favorites in both of those games. But I'd lean either way. you would have to think, man, I don't know. I would think the Jets, if you're going to take either underdog, I would take the Jets.
I'd play them both on a teaser and get them at like 13.5 or 17, something more reasonable.
Or how about getting the teaser the other way?
Like plus 37? Yeah. I think that's what I saw the Dolphins have, plus 37.5. I don't trust that at all. Yeah. Not with those odds. I don't know. I usually just leave those games alone.
Yeah.
With those big spreads like
although
that.
Although I would have rode on the Patriots last week. I like them in Miami.
Remember a few years ago when Denver had when Manning had a cooking in Denver?
Yeah.
Those are some pretty big numbers that he was covering every week.
These are still NFL teams. Last year, everybody was predicting the Bills to go 0-16. They get smoked week one, and then week two, they come out and outright beat the Vikings. Yeah. Not only beat the Vikings, they won by 34 points and beat up on Kirk Cousins. So that's the thing. I mean, these are still pros. I don't like taking those high spreads in games like that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe in the Super Bowl, because it seems like that the favorite usually covers.
Mm-hmm.
But no, this weekend, I'd stay off. I wouldn't parlay. I wouldn't do nothing with those games.
We'll talk more about the NFL, our NFL Blitz coming up in about an hour.
I like the Packer money line.
We'll look at the picks, though. We'll look at some of these picks this week and then Friday. Be here at 9:45 because We were 6-0 last week as a show.
Yeah.
So we can win you some money this Friday at 9:45. Earlier than that, we've got Ron Wolf in studio, Bill Michaels show, 12:35. Don't go anywhere for that. Earlier than that, as in coming up in just a few minutes, back into this Brewers thing. You got to almost look at them as favorites to make the playoffs at this point, and it's all because of that Cubs-Cardinals series. More on that coming up next. Series is next. Series on the Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.